The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 21, verses 7 through 14. In the Korean Bible, please turn to page 224 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." Amen. The prophet Agabus foretold before Paul, his companions, Philip, and his four daughters that Paul would be bound by the Jews and handed over to the Roman army. Agabus did not give his own personal opinion that Paul should or should not go to Jerusalem. Without comment, he simply conveyed the prophecy of the Holy Spirit that Paul would be bound and imprisoned in Jerusalem. Rather than Paul, who was actually going to be bound and imprisoned, it was Philip and his four daughters who first responded to Agabus's prophecy. Even Paul's companions, who knew better than anyone why Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem, joined with Philip's four daughters who had the gift of prophecy and wept and pleaded with him not to go. Outwardly, this was a very touching scene. They loved and respected the human Paul so much that when they heard Agabus' prophecy, they wept and pleaded with him to stop. But they did not realize an important fact. Stopping Paul from going to Jerusalem meant the ruin of Paul's life as a man called by Jesus. And it went against the will of God. Even though it meant being tied and imprisoned, Paul had to follow the road of the Lord's calling so that God's will of salvation toward his people would be carried out. But Philip's four daughters and Paul's companions did not want to think about this. Their knowledge of the word of God was great, but they were too used to using the word for their own complacent and selfish desires and purposes. From Paul's personal point of view, He was very grateful to Philip's four daughters and his companions, who were trying to stop him from going to Jerusalem and weeping and begging him not to go. But Paul, instead of thanking them, rebuked them. Verse 13 says, "Then Paul answered, 'Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" Paul was ready to not only be bound and imprisoned, but even die in Jerusalem. This means that he was ready to die at any moment. What for? For money, or maybe for power, or for applause from people. Paul was ready to be imprisoned and die. Even rejecting the tears and the begging from Philip's four daughters and his companions, solely for the name of Jesus. Paul did not believe in the Lord in order to live a long life free of disease, or become rich, or powerful, or see his family prosper. Paul was not ready to face a million obstacles to go to Jerusalem because he was like the Americans who rushed west and south in search of gold, even braving danger. The sole reason he wanted to go to Jerusalem, even in the face of death, even though Philip's four daughters and his companions pleaded with him not to go, was the name of Jesus. His will toward the name of Jesus was like iron, unbending and strong. His courage toward the name of Jesus was powerful, like a volcano on fire. His resolve, even in the face of death, toward the name of Jesus was unbreakable, like a high mountain. Where did Paul's will, his courage, and his resolve come from? If the source was Paul himself, Paul was certainly a legendary figure unlike you or me. And ordinary people like us would never be able to imitate him. How was Paul able to muster the will and courage to face imprisonment and even death for the name of Jesus? We discover the answer in Paul's testimony. Paul delivered his final will and testament in Miletus to the elders of Ephesus. At the time, Paul declared the following. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." All throughout the time, Paul wrapped up his third mission trip in Corinth and traveled from Macedonia to Troas to Miletus. Every city he passed through, the Holy Spirit continued to warn Paul that his road to Jerusalem was one of trial and imprisonment. Paul could have easily accepted this warning as the hand of God preventing him from going to Jerusalem, and he could have given up. But Paul accepted the warning as a calling from God toward that road everyone was trying to avoid. And he proclaimed that in order to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, he considered his life worth nothing. Even then, Paul was already resolved to face death. The important thing here is finding out the task Paul was ready to die for, the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Paul explained that this was the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. The race Paul aimed to finish, even in the face of death, was to testify to the good news of God's grace. And this was the task the Lord Jesus gave him. We cannot ignore the fact that Paul did not just call the gospel, but he called it the gospel of grace. Paul did not discover the gospel by studying hard or through research. If Paul had done so, that gospel would have been merely a dependent variable in his work. Paul's gospel was the gospel of grace. Before Paul knew the gospel, when it was impossible for him to even imagine the gospel, through the grace of the cross, the gospel was given to him. To borrow from his confession in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for Paul in this: while Paul was still a sinner, Christ died for Paul. Jesus did not become a sacrifice on the cross for Paul because Paul was a righteous, holy man. When Paul was a dirty sinner, when there was no hope for him for life beyond the grave, our Lord carried out the gospel by dying as a sacrifice on the cross in order to give Paul, the slave to dirty sin and death, eternal life. This was not due to Paul's hard work or effort. God had given him this grace before Paul knew it. But Paul was ignorant of this fact, and he oppressed the Lord's church. So the Lord picked him out on the road to Damascus and even gave him the grace of realizing the gospel and understanding the gospel. So to Paul, the gospel was not just the gospel, but the gospel of grace. Every time Paul thought of the gospel of grace and the grace of the gospel and the grace of the cross of the Lord who gave him the gospel, he couldn't help but give his entire being to Jesus Christ of grace. And this was because giving his all to the Lord of grace filled him with more grace and even more. So Paul was resolved to not only be bound, but also die for the name of Jesus. His will like iron, his courage like a volcano, and his unbreakable resolve like a high mountain. All of these things that Paul, who stopped his companions and the four daughters of Philip, who were trying to stop him from going to Jerusalem, all of these things were the grace of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. Paul's final will and testament in our Bible in Korean does not fully reflect the original Greek text. If we do a literal translation of the original text in which the definite article is used seven times, we have the following. However, I consider thee my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's the grace. To Paul, God was not just any God in Greek mythology. To Paul, God was the God who had given him his only Son, Jesus Christ. To Paul, grace was not something cheap he could receive anywhere. It was the grace Jesus Christ had when Paul was still a sinner, died as a sacrifice on the cross to pay for Paul's sins. To Paul, the gospel was not a worldly type of good news, like the price of his property had gone up. It was the gospel Jesus Christ had picked him, an oppressor of the church, out for on the road to Damascus and given a new life through the cross. To Paul, Jesus was not just one of the many Jesuses of the same name in Israel during this period. He was the Jesus who died on the cross as a sacrifice and on the third day broke death to rise in eternal life. Paul's mission was not of this world to gain and spend what he found in this world. Paul's mission from God was the mission to spread God's gospel of grace to people dying in the trap of death and sin. The road for Paul, who was already in his final years, was not the road of comfort and complacency so many elderly people in this world wish for. It was the road on which he was to finish his mission of spreading the gospel of grace. Paul was willing to give up his life in order to finish the road. The life was Paul's old person, nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. Paul knew that as his old self died away, a new life of grace inside Jesus Christ would come fill him even more. So Paul confesses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 to 10. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul, who had oppressed the church, did not even have the right to become an apostle. That he became an apostle of the Lord was entirely due to the grace of God. The apostle Paul, who became an apostle through the grace of God, worked and sacrificed more than any other apostle for the Lord. But even that was not Paul's doing. This was because it was made possible by God's grace. Paul's life, which had received the grace of salvation, began with God's grace, and to the day he was executed for the Lord, it ended in God's grace. This was because God's grace saved him and led him to become an apostle, and when his breath ceased, God's grace would lead him to God's eternal country. So Paul's proclamation that he would be bound and die for the name of Jesus Christ, that proclamation that he made in front of the four daughters of Philip and his companions, all of this was not just pleasant-sounding words. It was not just a face proclamation. It was his actual true state of mind. Let us look at verse 14. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." We hear in the scripture refers to Philip's four daughters and Paul's companions, who in tears were trying to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem after hearing Agabus's prophecy. When Paul was not persuaded by their tears, they gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." The Greek verb heshikazo, which is translated as give up, means to shut one's mouth. The nuance of the original text is that you no longer listen, so we will no longer speak. With their mouths and their words, they said, "The Lord's will be done," but that was only a courtesy statement, like the inshallah of the believers of Islam. They did not sympathize with Paul, who was resolved to die for the name of Jesus Christ. And they were not in the least sorry that they were wrongly trying to stop him in his path. Another way of saying this is that they had not yet experienced the depth of the grace in which Paul was immersed in his entire body and soul. They were also saved Christians like Paul, yet they tried to stop with tears Paul's road to Jerusalem while Paul was ready to die for the name of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. This difference comes from the difference in depth of understanding of God's grace. So Paul said the following in his will to the elders of Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul, on saying goodbye to the elders of Ephesus, said he committed them to the word of his grace. This was because as long as they, through the word of grace, dwelt in God's grace which had saved them, this word of grace would raise them up so that they would be able to inherit God's country. In the first believers class, we learned about the position and standards of a Christian life. Every position in life requires its own standards. When a youth who is at a position of a college student acts and talks like a high school student, people will say this youth is immature. The position of college student requires one to talk and act like a college student. Three days ago, the 48-year-old Senator John Vincent Placé, an adopted French-Korean, was appointed French Secretary of State Reform. He became the second Korean adoptee to become a minister of France following Fleur Pellerin, who stepped down the same day. According to news reports, he was born Kwon Obok in 1968 in Korea. When he was the age of 7 in 1975, he was adopted by a French lawyer's family from an orphanage in Suwon. His position changed from a Korean orphan to the adopted son of a French couple, and from a Korean to a citizen of France. The child did not earn this position on his own, because the French lawyer couple selected him to be their adopted son. He, who was an orphan in Korea, gained this new position. But the child, in order to live a life fitting to his new position, would have tried his best to learn a new language and a new culture, and to live with people who looked different and had a different skin color. Did he receive his new position as a result of his own efforts? No, it was the opposite. Because he received a new position he had never dreamed of, he would have done his best to live a life fitting to that standard. And at the young age of 48, he gained the position of Minister of France, a powerful country. This is an immense change in position from a young Korean orphan 40 years ago. And there is no doubt that from now on, he will act and speak as appropriate to his position as Minister of France. That we have become saved Christians means that our positions have changed from dirty sinners to children of God. Have our positions changed due to our own efforts? This is not the case. This change is due to God's grace and only God's grace. Our change from dirty sinners to children of God is an immense leap in position, something that is not even comparable to a change from a Korean orphan to minister of France. The position of cabinet minister is in any country an honorable office, but no matter what, one must step down after a few years. But there is no term limit or expiration date on our position as God's children. Our position as eternal children of God who inherit God's eternal country will never change. Even before we tried, even before we made an effort and wanted to gain this position, this is a position of grace given to us by God before we knew it, through the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ. If we understand the value of this position of grace God has simply given to us, what is left to us is living a life that measures up to the standards of this position. Today is the first Sunday of Lent in which we meditate on the suffering of Christ on the cross and repent of our sinful lives. The arm of Jehovah God, which is never short, will never leave us behind. Will never leave behind we who are dying in a trap of sin and death. When we were still sinners, God had his only Son bear the cost of our sin for us, and so he made us his eternal children. A new position was simply given to us in eternity through grace. Like Paul, let us live lives that measure up to the standard of our new positions given us through grace. Let us follow Paul in our lives, Paul who was resolved to not only be bound but also die for the name of Jesus Christ. To die in Jesus is to live. We must die in order to live. We who have gained new positions through God's grace must have our old selves die, so that we may gain new life with new standards in the grace of God. The arm of God, who grants us the grace of a new position, is always with us, so that we may grow in strength through his grace and live a life fitting to our new standards. Let us pray. For a long time we have forgotten your grace. So my life was helpless like a fish out of water. On this first Sunday of Lent, thank you for confirming to us that the Lord's grace has not left us, but that we are still in the Lord's grace. The Lord's grace saved me through the Lord's precious blood on the cross. The Lord's grace changed my position from dirty sinner deserving of death to God's eternal child. The Lord's grace broke down the wall between myself and God. And the Lord's grace made my heart beat last night as a Christian and allowed me to welcome the morning. The Lord's grace brought me here today to worship the Holy Trinity, God. Lord, we confess that we cannot do anything without your grace. Let us live because of your grace, drawing strength from your grace, through your grace, and for your grace. Let us live lives befitting the new positions you have given us without payment, and let us carry out your grace in our lives. In the Lord's grace, let our old selves die every day, and let your new life spread throughout the world, through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.